This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is 7:06 a.m., 27th of March. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng and joined by Lin Mark and Shariz Abdullah. U.S. stocks closed higher yesterday, buoyed by the energy and financial sectors, but the indices came off its high because of lingering uncertainties over global growth and Brexit. Dow Jones rose 0.5%, the S&P 500 was up 0.7%, and Nasdaq climbed about 0.7%.
Yes, so European markets also rose quite gently. So this is as the UK Parliament wrested control of Brexit away from the government, setting up a showdown for later today. So the stocks was stock 600 was up 0.8%. The UK's FTSE was up 0.3%. France's CAC up 0.9%. But by contrast, Germany's disappointing consumer confidence survey data left the DAX down 0.3%.
Right, and now looking closer to home in Asia, there's mixed outcome coming out. Japan's Nikkei rose 2.15%. Hong Kong edged 0.15% higher. South Korea Kospi lost 2.18%. Shanghai Stock Exchange 1.51% down. And Singapore STI was up by 0.55%. And looking at FBM KLCI, they closed marginally higher, up 0.05%.
So oil heads for its best first quarter in 17 years. Russia is keeping to its pledge output cut, as is OPEC and its partners, led by Saudi Arabia. They have been cutting supplies to counter a global supply glut. In the US, the industry-funded American Petroleum Association, or Institute rather, was set to report crude stockpiles, which rose almost 2 million barrels last week.
Now, earlier in the week also, the US accused Russia of aggravating political tensions in Venezuela, which prompted the Kremlin to repeat its claim that the White House has been trying to orchestrate a coup. So this comes less than 48 hours after two Russian military planes touched down in Caracas, fueling speculation that Moscow is seeking to bolster its presence in Venezuela.
So now from Russia, now let's look into Ukraine. Its presidential election is to be held this weekend. And, surprisingly, an actor or used to be a comedian who played the country's leader in a hit TV show is in with a good chance of winning, according to the experts over there. So the guy's name is Volodymyr Zelensky, who leads public opinion poll in Ukraine, ahead of this first round of voting Sunday, March 31st.
Okay, we have Freddie Lim, Chief Investments Officer of Stashaway, which is a robo-advisory firm, on the line. And Freddie is going to help us digest some of the market news. Good morning, Freddie, and thanks for joining us. China has vowed to stop or at least reduce intervention of its industrial sector. How big of a news is this for you, and how will it affect your investments?
It's not really a directly important news to the market, but it does show that the Chinese are making a lot of efforts to avoid antagonizing the U.S. into the latest round of high-level trade talks. As we know, we have another high-level trade talks starting in Beijing this Thursday. So this is really about the trade war and not antagonizing the U.S.
Freddie, we've also seen China's industrial profits data is expected to come out later today. And what are you expecting to see there?
The last print in December was minus 1.9% year on year. And it was a steep decline from 22% back in April 2018. So this number today is likely to be confirming a weakness in the Chinese economic cycle. And note that the industrial sector in China is huge. It's about 40% of Chinese GDP. So do expect a bit of a weakness here, because it is, after all, looking at January and February together. It's a lagging indicator. Much of it has been priced in into the markets.
Freddie, in the UK, Prime Minister Theresa May, now she seems to have lost control over the Brexit process. Now, at this rate, it looks like a second vote may once again be on the card. So has this affected your outlook on the pound and also the EU investments?
The situation has actually, from a game theory perspective, is very good for the pound, because May losing control over the process has now actually increased the chance of another Brexit referendum, or at least we know that the probability of a no-deal exit is now lower than before. And with another referendum, you never know what's the probability of buyer's remorse people regretting what they have voted before. So that is some probability of Brexit not happening as well. And that's exactly what the price action of the pound dollar has done. We have rallied 4.8% in pound against the dollar since 12 December last year.
And Freddie, so oil advanced for the first time in 4 days amid some rising tensions in Venezuela, which could curb the supply of crude. Do you foresee oil prices continuing to gain ground?
It's interesting because we start the year this year with lots of concern about a slowdown in the global economy, and hence people are worried about industrial demand for oil. Nothing can be further from the truth. Crude oil prices been going up from $42 to nearly $60 now, right? It's mainly driven by supply-side adjustments. Plus, now we have short-term disruptions in Venezuela. It really just makes the supply situation tighter than before. So short-term positive. Long-term, are traders in the oil market inviting another tweet storm from Donald Trump? That's the next thing.
Thank you so much. And that was Freddie Lim, Chief Investment Officer at Stashaway. I found that game theory perspective very interesting because while there may be uncertainty in this latest Brexit vote and turmoil within the parliament in the UK, this could actually lead to another referendum which would just shut down any thoughts of Brexit in future and therefore accepting perhaps the UK back into the fold in EU again. Okay, this other news that we have, Airbus has just signed a deal with China that's worth about $35 billion. And China has ordered 300 planes, 290 A320s and about 10 A350s. And this is coming amid that crisis of the 737 MAX model with Boeing.
Yes, so the deal, so ordering 300 planes was signed during Xi Jinping's visit to Paris. French President Emmanuel Macron initially said the order from China would amount to about $18 billion. And this is, of course, a blow to Boeing. So Boeing has been riddled with a crisis after two of its 737 models were involved in crashes. And the 737 MAX is, of course, the most direct competitor of Airbus's A320.
So let's have a look at the China aviation market for 1 second. The large Chinese middle class is now fast growing and, you know, it's driving the demand for travel. Airbus is estimating that China will need about 7,400 new passengers and also freighters aircraft in the next two decades, which represents almost 20% of the total global demand.
Okay, and I think that as far as the geopolitical concerns go. I think this is like a shot of arrow that China is throwing to the United States because Airbus is obviously a French company. And I think perhaps ordering more from Airbus would irritate Trump a little bit more. I call it the Trump card, right?
Could it be that, or is it more relating to the recent tragedy that has been happening?
We're
looking at other airline companies as well, sort of reducing the order. For an example, Garuda, they too have they've submitted the order and now they've cancelled it, for an example. So
if we remember, China was one of the first countries to ground the 737 MAX 8 after the Ethiopian Airlines crash. And I think that, yes, there is definitely obviously concern over the tragedy repeating itself, but there's definitely a geopolitical angle to this because it feels like China is thumbing its nose a little bit at the US. And there's also the fact that Boeing is synonymous with the US aviation market. And that is, and this is really hitting it very hard. And it's almost showing that the US is losing its position as a leader in the aviation industry. And of course, there is also the fact that China is trying to get into aviation and manufacturing planes. It has its own airline, I believe COMAC. So that's part of their bid to get into the aerospace industry from scratch.
Yeah, but would this be good for the negotiation that's been going on at the moment? I mean, what is the end game at the end of the day? I mean, are we looking at China and US trying to resolve it, or are they still trying to, find punches to each other as, whenever an opportunity arises? I don't think, that would bring out the desirable outcome for both I think both of them.
When you look at the signals, it does look like on the overall, China's trying to placate the United States with, you know, as Freddie Lim said, with this kind of moves to intervene in the market less. I think these are the things that China is bringing to the table, and they can go with the heads held high, saying that, hey, we're doing all these things to open up our markets. Now it's your turn. Give us something back in return, right? Okay, it's 7:16, and when we come back, we'll look at Astro's results. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.